Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
We keep our focus in interlinking the political economy. And as many of you might have asked on social media, what do the elections mean for the economy? Well, if you know very well, typically it's been said that the interlink between the two is substantial and critical. Johan Els, Old Mutual Group Chief Economist, joins us now to give us some perspective on deciphering the outcomes of the 2024 democratic elections in South Africa and their results, and what the economic outlook does look like. Johan, such a pleasure to have you. Welcome to the show, sir.
Good evening. Thanks so much.
Always a pleasure to speak to you. I almost feel as though we can breathe a sigh of relief, right? Because the data's come and gone, but yet we're still anxious because of the fact that this is a different scene for South Africa, where no one party has won a clear and single majority.
Oh, absolutely. And as your previous speaker also said, it's fantastic that in this vibrant, almost mature democracy in South Africa, we, the people, decide. But in terms of economics, absolutely, markets and investors and businesses want certainty. And so with coalition government comes lots of uncertainties. And I think markets might be unsettled over the next few days, week or two perhaps, until we've got clarity of who's going to govern. Because in terms of that certainty we need to know if policy is going to continue the same way that it has. And you and I know it hasn't been great, but it's moving in the right direction, this bigger and bigger role of the private sector in the economy, in energy, in logistics and other areas that will drive future economic growth. So that's important. And this uncertainty that we don't exactly know yet who's going to be in government, will policies continue, that might cause some volatility in the markets, in the currency market, stock market, bond market, etc.
And maybe let's unpack that, because you're quite right. It's about the policies. But those policies are influenced by the politics, which fundamentally create the environment for economics to thrive. And maybe let's discuss that, because all of these political parties do have varying views around the economic policies. And as we've heard from several rating agencies, reforms that South Africa does need to implement in order to unlock more potential in our economy.
Yes, absolutely. It's those policies. We've made a great start. You know, the work that Operation Vulindlela is doing in terms of making sure these things are implemented and fast-tracked and the bottlenecks are sorted out where we don't see any movement. And in South Africa, we've got lots of what they call structural constraints. And there's some of the big ones still outstanding. The skills deficit. Our education system isn't great. And that's not something you can change quickly. We haven't really done anything over the last 30 years about that. So a lack of skills combined with a labor market that's very regulated, those things will probably prevent us from ever growing around 5-6% on a sustained basis. But this bigger shift towards a more free market economy, this bigger role of the private sector, where the private sector is happily taking up the role where state-owned enterprises have been failing. And again, electricity, Transnet, logistics. So this more mixed or better mix in terms of government versus private sector, more private sector involvement, that is significant. That is huge. That'll get us to an upward growth path going forward. And as I say, perhaps not 5-6, but towards 2.5 from virtually nothing. So that will help. And that's what we're looking forward. That must continue under a new government. And there are lots of other areas, infrastructure. I always say economics is the study of human behavior. So the potholes, the lack of electricity or political and policy indecision, that influences you and me, the ordinary guy in the street. And therefore, that influences our decisions and businesses' decisions regarding employment and whether they're going to invest, etc. So it's important, and you rightly said, there's a huge link between policy and politicians and confidence and economic growth.
Speaking of politics and political parties, there's a lot of talk around the potential coalition outcomes. Is there a preferred coalition government that the market desires?
Yeah, that's a difficult one. I think everybody sort of preferred the ANC to remain in charge because that would have meant them continuing. So that's not the case anymore. So I think there's lots of talk about the government of national unity or various coalitions. I think the market's perception is that the ANC and DA policies are much closer than any other party, perhaps. And so so almost a grand coalition of ANC, DA, IFP would be welcomed by markets, whereas ANC coalition with its other members in terms of MK and EFF probably won't be liked at all, perhaps, because of almost leftist type policies and more populist type policies, and markets would fear that the economy will shift more populist. And that's particularly bad because we're open economy, very small, very open economy, and foreign investors will dislike that. And if foreign investors dislike that, markets will collapse, the rand will weaken significantly, and that will bring other pain with it.
Because I'm assuming this is where economists actually have diverging views. Some might say, well, a populist view might be great for the people of the country and eradicating and addressing inequality, whereas others might say, hold on, we actually need the foreign capital to equip that eradication of inequality that we need in South Africa. So it's almost, who do you serve here? The international.
How much time have we got?
As long as we can give you. Go ahead, John.
No, of course, populist policy sounds great. Let's print money and give more social grants. Let's give everyone R1 million per month. But you know what? That's not sound economics. And in the end, we'll suffer more than what we gain in the immediate future, because inflation will shoot up, the rand will collapse. Even if we've got a populist central bank, eventually we'll be a basket case like Zimbabwe or Argentina. We cannot do that. It sounds nice on paper, but it's not going to work in the long term, and that will hurt everybody even significantly more than what we are hurting now.
100%. Johan, I'm glad you provided perspective on that one. But I guess it's going to be an intriguing couple of weeks. And aside from South Africa's politics, we also have global factors to contend with. Does this mean that markets will remain volatile? Is business expected to continue to sit on capital? I guess, what should we anticipate for the next month or so?
If I can divert a little bit, you know, we've got a system that's strongly built around a constitutional democracy. So the constitution itself, the independence of the constitutional court, the judicial system, the sophisticated financial sector. So all these checks and balances significantly in terms of keeping some sort of stability. But you're right, we're dependent on what happens in the rest of the world. I think we're moving in the right direction regarding U.S. rate cuts coming gradually. That will help us to have rate cuts. We're moving in the right direction. It's once this uncertainty is moving away, then things can perhaps pick up a little bit. And I do think that the probability is somewhat higher that current policies will continue. As we said earlier, there's some risk of more populist policies, but I think you and I, the middle class in South Africa, and even the poor in South Africa, realizes that we need better economic growth for better employment, for higher incomes. So it's a trajectory that should benefit all if we continue with the right kind of policies. So I think the probability is somewhat higher there than on the populist side.
100%. Johan, such a pleasure speaking to you, sir.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.